the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the closing market report. It is the 15th day of February 2012. Thanks so much for calling in during our February fun drive. Dave and I really appreciate it. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley. He's at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And a bit later in the half hour, we'll talk about the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, two key Democratic senators are pushing to expedite a draft of the farm bill via a legislative maneuver. And Europe remains in turmoil over troubles in Greece. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then I'll tell you all about Friday's Agricultural Communications Symposium to be held at the I Hotel right here on this campus and how you can participate from your home computer. And it all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for stock and commodity reports on Illinois Public Media comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, now hosting risk management seminars. A complete list of seminars is at sfarmmarketing.com.
In Chicago, on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished lower in the soft red winter wheat pit, down 9 cents in the nearby March contract to $6.26, the May at $6.34 a bushel, down a nickel, and July, the harvest month, 3 cents lower at $6.43, or rather $6.46 3/4, down 3 cents. A hard red in Kansas City, $6.85 3/4, down 5 cents for the day. March corn futures back in Chicago from the CME Group at $6.27, down 6.5, the May at $6.31, down 7. July corn, $6.34 down 7.5, and September at $5.86.5, 3 3/4 lower. December corn, $5.59 3/4 down 4.5 cents in the March contract, $5.70 down 4 for the day. March soybeans at $12.61 up 6, the May at $12.68 3/4, 6 1/4 higher. July beans, $12.77 5 up 6 1/4 on the day, and the August at $12.74, 5.5 cents lower. November beans, $12.60 5 up 3. January futures at $12.65 1/4 for next year, up 3 3/4. Bean meal at $3.32.80 up $2.70. Bean oil at $53.35 for the March, 33 cents higher. April live cattle futures at $128.90 down 35 cents. June at $127.37.5. 50 cents lower. The March feeders at $156.62.5 up 37.5 cents. The April contract, $158.50 up a dime for the day. And April lean hogs at $88.90 down 72.5 cents for 100 pounds. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby, crude oil at $101.82 a barrel, $1.08 higher. Ethanol at $2.19 6/10, a penny and 7/10 lower. Natural gas down 10 cents for the day at $2.43, and the heating oil at $3.18 8/10. That's up 2 3/10. Silver futures at $33.38. down 0.06, and the gold at $1,726.30 an ounce, up $10.40. The dollar at 79.65, that's up 0.07. The CRB index on the day at 314.95, up 1 point even. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon yet. Rain is likely cloudy, a high of 44 degrees with a southwest wind at 9 to 13, gusting to 16. The chance of precipitation set at 70% for this afternoon, and then tonight rain will spread through the area 100%. Possibly a thunderstorm, too, a low of 35 degrees. Tomorrow, cloudy, gradually becoming mostly sunny. Highs tomorrow near 43 degrees. Northwest winds at 9 to 17. Thursday night, partly cloudy and a low of 28. Friday, mostly sunny skies, a high of 46 degrees. And Friday night, partly cloudy with a low of 27. On Saturday for the weekend, mostly sunny and 41. Saturday night, cloudy and 24. Sunday, sunny and 39 degrees. And Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low of 26. On Washington's birthday, partly sunny for Monday, a high of 43 degrees, and then Monday night, a chance of rain and snow, mostly cloudy, a low of 33. By the time we get to Tuesday, that chance of rain will come back into the forecast and stay with us. It'll be mostly cloudy with a high of 46 degrees. More on the ag weather when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It is a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check what's been happening in the world of agricultural futures. Paul Cooley at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois is on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd, on this kind of overcast drizzle day in February.
It is indeed that, and we kind of keep bouncing back and forth with Greece. Sometimes things are getting better, and sometimes Greece's government's simply not doing something, and it has an impact in the marketplace on occasion. Did that happen today, or was there something else going on?
Well, we keep that back in our mind, and of course they had the former Treasury Secretary Paulson on and said it's the domino effect that we have to worry about. But the big factor is technical, and we broke a 40-day moving average in corn. There was a pendant formation. There was a channel breakout on the downside, and I think there was a 100-day moving average at 631. So we have to blame that on the technicians today, that the market was just very, very soft. The wheat market was soft. There was some export business in beans and corn. But the overwhelming supply of world wheat, Australia, the Ukraine says we have plenty of wheat to sell. One person made the comment yesterday that the loading capacity at the Australian ports aren't large enough to ship all the wheat they have. And, you know, there was some forecasts of rain in the U.S. winter wheat growing area. I was a little surprised that corn was as sloppy as it was. We know that the ethanol demand isn't very good, but the USDA said exports would improve, and I think they are. But the market just acted like a total train wreck, both in corn and wheat. And, of course, my customers are even quoting me by saying there's so much new crop corn that's going to be planted. That's not very bullish for corn in the third place. So those are the old bottom lines that we're looking at.
Well, the fundamentals, in your opinion, look pretty rocky. How far down do you think there might be, and does it differ very much for old and new crop?
Well, you know, I hope to say that there is somewhat of a support. The old crop corn carryover that the USDA talked about was 800 million bushels, and
right.
That's a very tight supply of corn. There is a feeling that world stocks will actually go down a little bit, but there's just absolutely no pizzazz in the marketplace per se. I thought possibly if all this Federal Reserve funding and the world money supply growing like a house of fire, trying to stabilize the world economies and gold being higher, crude oil exploding to the upside here today, it would more or less support corn. But I was proven wrong, but my bearishness on new crop corn continues.
Hey, did you see, and I don't know that it make too much difference to you, but maybe that the former U.S. Trade Representative Zelik, who is currently the head of the World Bank, is planning to step down. Will that have much of an impact, you think, if the Americans don't come back up with the World Bank?
Well, we finance about 75 to 80% of that. So, we are the big spenders and big suppliers of money, and if you could more or less term the European Economic Community and their money supply program, it would be like a 1950 Ford versus a 2012 Ford today. So, you know, we are so far ahead of Europe when it comes to money management and how we do things with a central bank that, you know, if it wasn't for the U.S., Europe would be really in bad trouble.
All right, let's switch gears just a bit. Talk about soybeans for me. They had an up day.
Well, you know, of course, we are all excited about the vice president of China coming to the U.S. and landing and going to spend a couple of days in Iowa. I think that he spent some time with a farm family in Muscatine, Iowa. Both U.S. senators from Iowa said, you know, this is the biggest thing since Nikita Khrushchev and Pope John Paul is coming to Iowa. Iowa is a big deal because they do have a big food supply. And, of course, we all know in 1959 Nikita Khrushchev wanted to turn Russia into Iowa. But the big factor here is that the feeling is that Iowa's got a lot of soybeans and corn to sell, as well as pork and farm machinery. And, of course, that's a big market. And, of course, the Chinese are playing the other side of the record, that we are buying products and we are trying to do a fair trade with the U.S.
You think that in the soybean market, rainfall in Argentina, which is predicted to be fairly heavy, will help that crop at all?
Yes, I do. And this would be like August the 15th there. And, of course, we were talking about the weekend, August 20th down there for rain in Brazil. The smart money says that the USDA production numbers in Argentina on corn is a little large. Some of the private guys are cutting the bean crop a little bit, but near as we can tell, it's still a time frame that can stabilize the bean crop. Historically, August 20th rain here in central Illinois keeps the beans at 50 bushels, but it doesn't make it go to 60, so to speak. But it keeps the market stable, the size of the crop down there stable, and that's the bottom line.
Hey, Paul, thanks so much.
Have a profitable day, Todd.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear Paul again, you can always do that online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our daily agricultural programming, from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between, including our Commodity Week program. That's our weekend look at what happened in the world of agriculture at willag.org. Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming, will be here in just a few moments. He'll help us take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural news.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In agricultural news, two key Democratic senators are pushing for an expedited process by which a version of Farm Bill draft language would be attached to an extension of the payroll tax cut, which is set to expire February 29th. Senate Finance Chairman Max Baucus and Senate Budget Chairman Kent Conrad are considering whether to attach either their version of the Farm Revenue Assurance Package or the agricultural risk coverage language that farm interests were never able to attach to the Supercommittee's debt reduction proposal earlier this year. The two senators hope to link Farm Bill language to the payroll tax bill as a way to help pay for extending the payroll tax relief measure. Eurostat, the European Union Statistics Agency, says that the 17-nation Eurozone contracted 0.3% in the final 3 months of 2011. The decline was the first since the second quarter of 2009. Many individual countries in the Eurozone are in recession, including Italy, the Netherlands, Belgium, on top of bailed-out Greece and Portugal. For 2011 as a whole, the Eurozone economy grew by 1.5%. Meanwhile, today, there are strong doubts among some of the countries that use the euro over whether a second massive bailout can actually save Greece. Last night, a meeting between Eurozone finance ministers planned for today was canceled after Athens failed to deliver in time several demands made the previous week. The country's international creditors, the other 16 countries that use the euro, and the International Monetary Fund are insisting that the austerity measures have to be implemented before Greece can get a second $172 billion bailout. A bipartisan group of 31 senators wrote the White House Office of Management and Budget, pushing the Obama administration to issue a new rule for loosening restrictions on beef imports from countries regardless of their classification for mad cow disease. According to the OMB, the proposal would align U.S. importation rules on BSE with the criteria spelled out by the World Trade Organization for Animal Health. The proposed rule has been at the OMB since October 17th of last year. North American potash inventories rose about 20% in January from the previous month. According to the latest monthly data released by Potash Corporation, the world's largest producer of the nutrient, stockpiles at the producer level rose by more than 510,000 tons to about 3 million tons as of January 31st. Inventory levels of the nutrient in the region now stand 32% above the prior five-year average, as large buyers like China, India, and Brazil have stayed out of the market. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Up next, agricultural communicators are coming to Champaign this Friday for a big symposium that should take up the many sides of the global commodities debate. I'll have the backstory on the reasons why they're meeting here on this campus. The Agricultural Communication Symposium and Gala is a celebration of 50 years of agricultural journalism at the U of I. Jim Evans helped to found that academic program and has lent his name, his voice, and his expertise to an effort to make it a permanent part of the University of Illinois. Now, the symposium and gala will serve to cap a fundraising effort creating an endowment for an agricultural communications teaching position and seize the moment to allow a frank conversation about agriculture that only takes place usually in whispers. From start to finish, the event will challenge the private and public sector, agriculture, to find solutions to global food security issues. Evans, long retired but eminently active, thinks about the mission of the symposium and the ag communicator in this way.
I think we're at the heart of the agriculture complex, and I'm talking broadly food, feedstuffs, fiber, bio-based energy, agritourism, you name it, whatever. Food consumption, supply, safety, nutrition, health, that's what I'm talking about today in agriculture. And I think that communications, effective communications, is the lubricant for all of that.
The agricultural communicator, in Evans' mind, must have a deep understanding of how the world consumes and wants to consume agricultural products. He says early in his career he understood this, but that he thrived on the drive of journalism, even as he was teaching others to be agricultural communicators.
I love working with students. That's what brought me here. That's what kept me here. That's what still energizes me. I've been retired for some years, and I still feel the same excitement when I work with students. I think part of it also is the thrill of the mission. I've been a slow learner, maybe, and I started out thinking about the tools and the techniques and the thrill of the race, you know, the deadlines and the communications and news and so on. But at this stage, I'm interested in that, but I'm also interested in the mission and the value of what ag communicators do and can do.
What the ag communicator can do when challenged with proper tools and a foundation of understanding. It is the mission of the renewed agricultural communications program at the University of Illinois, kicked off by a celebration and a thought-provoking symposium on the state of agriculture. If you did not make your reservation for the symposium, no need to worry. You can still participate online at AgCom Event. That's www.agcom2msincomevent.com. AgCom Event. The morning kicks off at 9 a.m. Friday for the Agricultural Communications Symposium.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Scott Butcher on the phone line this afternoon with us to take a look at the agricultural cash grain market. He's at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Scott.
Good afternoon, Todd.
All right, take me through cash grain and basis, please.
Things were slow today. We had corn down today, 7 cents, and beans up a little bit, but it didn't seem to matter that beans were up. Corn going down was the bigger news of the day, and it just kind of kept things pretty quiet today.
And did your basis trade off as much?
No, actually, no change in basis today, at least that I saw anyway.
Wow. So that's a 7 cent pop in basis? No.
No, I'm sorry. Basis was...
well, no change in basis. Yes, price changed, but basis did not, really. I don't know what I was thinking, frankly.
Yeah, no problem. It's been a long day, that's for sure.
Well, it's been, but apparently a long, quiet day for you, I suppose, right?
Yes, it has. And that the quiet part makes the days even longer, so...
Yep. Okay, so when you look out across your landscape there, how much of the grain, corn in particular, do you think producers still have in hand?
It really feels to me like it's a mixed bag. I mean, you talk to a lot of people that are, 75 to 80% priced, and then you've got guys that are only 40 to 50. So I think it kind of depends on the area and what your yields were like and what your expectations were. Really, if you threw it all together, I would say probably around 50 to 60% is probably a good number to use.
Then, so 50 to 60% sold, is that, and how much of that is available then out of the total amount? Do you think it's more than that or not?
Yeah, I don't think that it's more than that. I mean, that feels like where it's at to me anyway.
All right. And would that be about norm for this time of year?
I would say that's probably pretty close. I mean, I think, price has a lot to do with that. You know, maybe if prices have been good, you'd be a little bit farther sold, but everybody wants that magical $7 number, so it's been, it's definitely kept things tempered.
Do you think the $7 is getting more magical by the moment?
Well, I don't know. The last couple of days would lead you to believe that that's not true, but, anything is possible with the markets today with the volatility that we have.
How about soybeans? Are there many of those around?
Yeah, it does feel like, there were a lot of soybeans put in the bin last harvest. A lot of guys held on to the soybeans because of poor basis in the fall. So, I do think that there are a lot more beans on the farm than maybe there would be this time, in the past few years.
The ethanol margins doing okay, or are they shrinking up still?
They're okay. Nothing to write home about, but, definitely still profitable everywhere, at least should be anywhere in our area. Nothing spectacular.
And your bids for the day?
Right now, cash corn, $6.48, soybeans, $12.49.
Scott, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Scott Butcher is with the Anderson's Climbers facility. He is in Delphi, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. Thanks so much to most of our radio stations for being with us. A few of them will leave us now. For the rest of you, stick around. I'll be back in just a couple minutes. We'll try to get hold of Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated to take up the agricultural weather forecast.
National Gumdrop Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1758, Benjamin Jackson advertised mustard for sale for the first time in America. The advertisement was in the Philadelphia Chronicle, where Jackson claimed, quote, the original establisher of the mustard manufactory in America, and at present, the only manufacturer on the continent. Jackson claimed his mustard, packed in glass bottles, was, quote, not bitter when fresh made. In 1845, Robert Wood Johnson was born. An American manufacturer, he and his two brothers founded Johnson & Johnson Corporation to make surgical dressings. In 1809, Cyrus Hall McCormick was born. An American inventor, McCormick is credited with the development of the first mechanical reaper. To defend his patent against a competitor, he held a field trial in 1843 in which his machine was judged the better. He sold 29 harvesters that year, and 5 years later he had a factory in Chicago capable of manufacturing 500 reapers a year. And in 1903, Russian immigrants Morris and Rose Mitchum introduced the first teddy bear in the U.S., named after President Theodore Roosevelt, who, while bear hunting in Mississippi in 1902, spared the life of a bear cub orphaned during the hunt. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
This is the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason on the phone line. Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start in South America. Looks like there may be some heavy rainfall moving into Argentina. Is that right?
Well, yes. I think we will see some heavier rains across a fair amount of the country. The most area that's most in need of that is actually in the extreme south and also the north. The heart of corn and soybean country is still reaping the benefits of a significant rain event that occurred a week or so ago. But those northern parts of the country are still pretty darn dry. They've had a lot of 90 and 100-degree temperatures here recently and no precipitation. So they're going to benefit most from the precipitation. But those areas in the heart of the corn and soybean country will likely continue to benefit tremendously with more or less a normal outlook for production potentials for the late season crops because of the rains that occurred a week ago and those which will be coming up over the next 10 days to 2 weeks.
Any concerns in Brazil?
Yes, but only temporarily. We have a notable drought underway in parts of western Paraná, neighboring areas of Paraguay, and western Santa Catarina and northernmost parts of Rio Grande do Sul. I think everyone's aware this has been going on since December. The situation has gotten a lot worse here recently. We've had some temperatures in the 90s, the lower 100s, and they haven't had much rain at all in that area. But things are starting to look up. The rains that will be occurring in Argentina here later this weekend will spread into southern Brazil next week, and we should get significant relief to many of these drought-stricken areas. So I think we're probably close to the peak of the dryness situation in southern Brazil. Not saying that we're going to fix everything with next week's rain, but I think we're going to put a significant notch in the old drought there. And, of course, Argentina is already on the up and up.
Then come back to the Northern Hemisphere. Talk about the United States and what you see over the next few weeks.
Well, I think the models are certainly playing with us right now. We've got a couple of weather systems that are showing up for the northern plains and parts of the upper Midwest. And if they verify, we may finally get a little bit of relief to the dryness that's been going on in the Dakotas and Minnesota, Wisconsin, parts of Iowa here the last several months. This is going to come in pieces, and to be real honest with you, I really want to wave a caution flag before we completely buy into this, but there's a little system that will impact those areas Sunday and Monday, another one that will come along Wednesday into Thursday of next week, and a bigger storm maybe at the end of the month. If all three of those verify, the situation up there will be at least temporarily improved. I think some of this precipitation is overdone, and the dryness in that region will continue to be an off-and-on thing all the way into the heart of spring. The rest of the Midwest will get timely precipitation. I think we'll see a continuation of abundant moisture from the lower and eastern parts of the Midwest down into parts of the Delta. And we'll probably also see some timely rains occur in parts of the southern plains. But that drought, too, will be very slow to break down.
Drew, thanks so much.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. Thanks for being along. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great day.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.